move the pulpit back in place. And you don't have to shift that can be fine. Got Nerida's mum's old amplified Bible. Anyone still got one of them? Yeah, a few. Anyone got a blue one just like that?
I used to.
They're quite amazing, actually. Some are deeply moving, some of the verses, you know, because they put in brackets the bits that are extended, and amplified is the word. You're right there, Jen. Yep. It's great. And I was looking through 1 John during the week, and suddenly felt quite strongly that that's what I was supposed to preach on. I was about to head back into the book of Acts, but you know, when the Spirit of God is literally saying, do not move away from this passage. This is where you need to sit and be and receive some things. So I was in that, and the more I read through it, it was just pounding out at me, and I realized we need to have a look at 1 John. So I'll be having a little bit of a look through the Amplified with 1 John, but mainly sticking to the normal version, but NIV that I use. Jenny has prayed, but I just want to briefly pray for the opening of the word. Father, we do just give to you this time. We want to thank you that your Holy Spirit has been moving in our midst, and the songs of worship, we would have them come before you like incense and rise before your throne. And we thank you that you love to have us bow down in worship and acknowledge you as the Holy One, acknowledge you as the one in whom there is light. For God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. And that is the one we worship this morning, and we worship you, and we acknowledge that you are the only one. You're the living God, and you're the one who died and has been risen back to new life. So we praise you, our God, and we just pray you're moved by your Spirit now, taking the words written, as the old song goes, or the new song goes, the ancient words, yet still powered with life. And we would, as the Greeks who came to see Philip said, Lord, we want to see Jesus. So this morning, that is our prayer too. We want to see Jesus. And we pray as the words go out and we ponder upon things that we'll have a picture of Christ and a love of Christ well up and grow within our hearts, and to see the glory and the majesty of Jesus and his tenderness. And we do pray and ask for that just now in Jesus' name. Amen. John loves God. Do you get that from when you read, like Morris started quoting John chapter 1, and I will be looking a little bit at that, and then 1 John 1, and they're just so similar anyway. It's all, because John is in love with God, because he knows what? Jesus loves him. Because he called himself the disciple, what? Whom Jesus loved. He knows that. He knows that God loves him. He knows Jesus loves him. And this book, 1 John, is about a call to be true to Jesus and everything. It's about getting ready. He's coming back. There are antichrists around, John says. There's the big one coming, but there are little ones, little antichrists, and we've got to be aware of them. They come and they go. Ones who speak a message that is totally contrary to the message of Christ. And John warns us about that. He says, you have the Holy Spirit, though, living within you, and he will teach you and show you things, keeping the word. And let the Holy Spirit teach you and guard you against these antichrists. So John talks about that. And then he goes on to say how amazing it is that we're the children of God. And when he comes back, when he appears, we shall see him. And when we see him, we shall be like him. That's what it says, doesn't it? In 1 John 3, that we're going to become like Jesus the moment we see him. The trumpet will sound, exactly right. That's it. That's right, the last trumpet sound. John basically saying this, that no one or nothing is to take the place of the Holy One, of the one of love. He's full of love and no one can take his place. So that's sort of where John's headed with all this. I just want to look a bit at John chapter 1 and 1 John 1 and just see what we can glean from a very moving description of Jesus. So that's what this is. This is a really amazingly touching description of Jesus without mentioning his name till end of chapter 3, verse 3. And it reveals the heart and nature of God. Now, John chapter 1, Murray said, Jesus is called the Word. And have you ever felt that's like the strangest title around? Anyone really deeply willing to acknowledge that? that's a very unusual thing to call someone, isn't it? It's because it's far different than just saying the words. Jesus is some words. He's certainly not saying that, is it? Very, very different. So when he says the Word, we need to have an understanding, because John mentions it both in his letters and his gospel, and that's the first thing he says about Jesus. So we need to get a bit of an understanding about this one who loves Jesus so much. Why didn't he just say everyone should love Jesus? Why didn't he start off like that? He actually says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1. And now here in 1 John, he's called the living Word. By verse 3, we've got this coming in that he's called the living Word. So straight away we have that again, this idea of the Word. So Jesus isn't just a lot of words. It's far more than that. So we need to think about what a word actually does. A word communicates, self-reveals, shows what's in the heart of someone when they bring words out of their mouth, don't they? So that's the idea, that you're sharing that which was within, you use words, it comes out, and you get a picture of what that person is trying to paint. And God especially wants to reveal himself completely to us. And only by faith can you accept that. That God really wants to reveal himself to us in a greater and deeper way every day. He does, doesn't he? In every way, you wake up in the morning and you go, Father God, reveal a bit more of your character to me today. That's a great prayer to pray, isn't it? Reveal more of who you are today. I want to know more of who you are. And because he's one who wants to reveal to us, we don't actually have to twist God's arm. We don't have to put his arm, you know, behind his back to force God to reveal himself. He wants to. We go, well, what's getting in the way? Why don't we know? And maybe part of it is a hunger or a belief that we can know more every day. And we'll look at some other things as we go on what can get in the way. So what's the Word? The Word is this self-revelation of God, this speech that we look at and we see who God himself is. So Jesus comes, and what's that whole expression, a picture paints 1,000 words? Well, a life paints more than just 1,000 words, doesn't it? Here's the very life of God, and when we look at Jesus, he reveals to us at the deepest level what God the Father is like. He speaks. And words of life come out of him. And as the disciples spent time with Jesus and saw what he's like, saw the way he reacted to things, saw the things he spoke about, saw the way he cared for people, and when he was really strong, and every character and aspect of how Jesus was, we get a speech. We get communication happening, don't we? As to what is God really like? What's God really like? Well, look at the one who speaks the life of God, and his name is Jesus Christ. So he is the Word. He's the living Word who shows us and speaks out to us all that we need to know about what the Father is like. And you have a look at the way it's actually written. John is like, I found myself getting so emotional when I realized that what John's doing here. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, it's like he's just delighting in this. We heard him. We've seen him with our eyes. We've looked at him. We've already seen that, so it's another thing, isn't it? The NIV has seen and looked. In other versions, it has beheld. We've seen him and we've beheld him. And another version say, gazed upon him with intensity and looked just at him. So there is a cursory look. There is just seeing God. But then there's another look which understands that this Jesus who walks on earth is far more than just a human and is just a really wonderful person to be around and the best teacher you could come across. We beheld his glory, it actually says in John chapter 1 verse 14. It says we looked at him and beheld his glory. We came to understand that he's glorious. He's majestic. So we beheld him. We gazed upon him. And you see, you can see that this is not just a bit of journal entry or a bit of writing down some notes to write a letter to someone. John is actually pouring out his heart here, isn't he? He said, do you realize we looked at him and we saw him? And then even says at the end of that verse 1, looked at, and our hands have touched. Did you know that we even were able to go up to Jesus and put our hands on him, and he would hug us and hold us, and we actually touched the word of life? Do you understand that, John's saying? Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's a very personal and rich and very warm description of Jesus, even though his name's not mentioned yet. He's just called that which was from the beginning. And you go, oh, that's a sort of rather impersonal, detached thing, that which was from the beginning. But as he gets into it, you realize, because Jesus is so much more than a human being, because he isn't just a man who was born and died, it's much harder for us as humans to put into words what actually happens when we experience Jesus personally, which we each can do each day of our lives, can't we? What John is writing here, we have the privilege of now doing every day in a way that's even deeper, because when Jesus went, he went. And when he went off to somewhere else, the disciples were here and Jesus is there, or vice versa. But now Jesus is within us every day. So this is what John's speaking about when he talks about the Word. Okay, let me read a tiny bit from the Amplified, because I said I would. John chapter 1, and this sums up this whole idea of when we see Jesus, we see God, and we can see him through our mind's eye, even as we read the gospel and know him personally. Okay, this is John chapter 1, verse 14 from the Amplified, so it takes twice as long. And the Word Christ became flesh, human incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us, and we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such glory as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth. Powerful description, isn't it? And about twice as long as the normal verse. John testified him and cried out, this is he of whom I said, he that comes after me has priority over me, for he was before me. He takes